Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Things stoked up. Purton says, come on, boy. Show the Aussies what you've got. Kaying Rising moved up to overpass. Clear from Jimmy Starr, but Kaying Rising, champions do what others can't. He's the world's best sprinter, no doubt.
I'm thunderstruck, needing to get there. Alligator blood tiring. I'm thunderstruck over the top, rumbling hard, and got up. I'm thunderstruck, I reckon it's just beaten Alligator blood into beauty. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator blood, I'm thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings will dream at the 100. It's getting desperate now. Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat it.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. The Spring Carnival may be over, Cup Week may be over, but we've got CF4 Stakes Day Group 1 at Caulfield. We've also got the Hunter at Newcastle, and more importantly, Nico, we are looking forward to Western Australia kicking off the Champions Fillies and the RJ Peters, the last chance for some of these horses to get into the Railway Stakes next week. Fellas, how did we survive Cup Week?
Barely.
It was a long week, but we got through it. It was a good cup week. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I think lots of punters did as well. Turnover was up. Lots of people at the track. And the roar when Giga Kick won the Champions Sprint is just about as good as anything you'll ever see.
Yeah, well, the whole race is just an asterisk anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Because Nico did his balls on the all-in market.
I actually, when it happened, I was like, you watch this. This is going to be straight out. And then when Willow was taking the saddle off, I just turned it off.
How quick did it all happen? Like, I thought it almost happened too quick. I put out a poll during the week on Twitter saying, should we delay the race a couple minutes, back all the horses out when a second favourite in a group on sprint sort of gets cast and gets scratched? What are your boys' thoughts on that?
It probably should, shouldn't it? Like, it's... You don't get much time. Like, if you're heavily invested into Tentris and you've priced the race, and there's value in other horses, like there might have been value in Giga Kick, and you don't get to necessarily back it because they were off so quickly.
So yeah,
who really?
They probably should just keep him around for another minute or so.
Who really cares? To be honest,
Nico doesn't give a shit.
Just another sick beat for Nico.
Oh, I think we should be doing that. For a group one anyway, you shouldn't be doing it for a benchmark 84 and it's a 20-1 shot, but for a $3.40 second favourite in a group one on Cup League, back the horses out. Look, some people might say it's unfair on the other horses that they've done the right thing by getting into the gates and now they have to get backed out. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to turnover. You're running in a $3 million race because of turnover, and there would have been millions upon millions traded, bet on Tentris, and they would have all had to been refunded, and punters wouldn't have been able to get another bet on. So
they've all been blessed.
We'll never know. But how good was Champions Day? As Bot said, the young punters lining the fence, they were right into Giga Kick and VS Sustain. It was great to see.
Yeah, 100%. Half mad because of the conditions, but good on them.
That adds to it all, I think. the conditions. Everyone's braving the conditions and going off their heads. It's awesome.
Yeah.
The tab hats on, the tab hats everywhere, the corduroy tab hats.
Racing's back. It's back in a big, big way. I think attendance was up. Wagering on the Melbourne Cup itself was up like
14%. I was so surprised by that. The Melbourne Cup day was the biggest, the highest turnout of a race day ever in Australia. Yeah. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. That's surprising to me.
It's always like massive. COVID.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, but I just
would
surprised
have, would have been a lot more of Sedilia's within the race, but anyway.
Yeah, and the fact that it wasn't a dry track and the turnover was still that high, it was like a soft 5, soft 6 sort of surface.
Yeah.
And usually that means turnover wouldn't be as high, but it's good signs. It's good signs.
It's the best racing carnival in the world, and it's second up for discussion. No, shut up, Nick. It's the best.
Yeah, it is.
Even Willie Mullins thinks so. So
yeah,
Willie Mullins and the blogger. They both think that Cup Week's number one.
Oh. Did blogger say that? Did he say that he thought it was number one?
Yeah,
he said it's gone to number one now over Royal Ascot.
Oh, where you
I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine doing 5 days in a row. That's just sick areas.
No, I couldn't do it. 4 days in a week is enough for me.
And it's just perfect. Like you got the Saturday, you get Monday, you get Sunday, Monday off. You get the Tuesday, then you get Wednesday off. You get Thursday, then you get Friday off, and then you get the Saturday again. And it just gives you time to both recover and do the form for the next meeting.
But just imagine trying to do 5 days straight of form, and then you go to the races, and you couldn't go to the races and bet every day because you simply couldn't have enough time to do the form well enough.
Imagine, forget the betting. Imagine doing 5 days of drinking straight at Ascot.
Yeah, well, you're pretty weathered by day three at Warrnambool, so.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't launch every day. No way.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't.
No way.
Nico's normally cast by day two.
I'd be having a cup of tea with the Queen and the King and all that jazz anyway, so I wouldn't be able to just continue to drink.
I'm sure Blogsy would be launching into it every day.
He's a specimen, our man.
Yeah. If my audio sounds a little bit different tonight, that is because it is. For the first time in 2.5 years, I've tried everything and my mic is just not working. So I've had to resort to getting on the phone and going through the AirPods. Hopefully it doesn't sound too bad. Let's get on to racing. This Saturday at Caulfield, we start where we always start. The track right now is rated a soft 6. I'm thinking it'll get back to a 4. There's 0 to 4 millimeters on Saturday. Rail is out 6 meters. What do you reckon, Botter? That should probably be advantageous to forward or midfield.
Yeah, you'd think so, yep.
Yeah, I would think so as well. I think it'll be a good 4 on the day. If we do get those showers, then maybe you're pushing to that soft 5 sort of range. Where do we want to start?
Well, I'm only having one early bet, so some of them I'm pretty useless today. But I can talk about every race. So direct me into a race and I can talk about it.
We'll skip race one. We'll go straight to race two. Benchmark 80 over 2,400 meters. Black run. We've got at $3.60. Hot to go $7. Leon Troy $9.50. Gates $10. And Tyke Meissen $12. Anything here?
No, not from a betting perspective, but I'm really interested in this horse, Black Run, who ran fast time at Rose Hill last time. He just ran them into the ground, and I expect that's what they'll do again. Yeah, really nice horse. Big peak from what it's done, and obviously goes Tom Marquand, who rode it perfectly last time to Ryan Houston. But it will go forward, and it's an obvious clear favourite. But nice horse, and I'll be looking out for it in the future.
All right, happy to skip race three. We'll go to race four, which is the Listed Village Stakes, 1,100 metres, and Beast Mode has been smashed in betting. This horse opened $4.20. He's now a top price of $2.60. Hedge, $3.40. Boston Rocks, $7.50. Sharippa, $10. Tiger Shark, $16. And Grinzinger Prince is there at $17. I'm happy to open the batting here. I'm with Hedged. If you do look at Beast Mode's recent ratings, they both of those have come at Moonee Valley and they've been really good, especially adjusted to 55 kilos against this field. But that was 9.55 and 1,000 metres. He draws barrier 9 here. There's a fair bit of pressure drawn inside him. And I just think he might be found wanting a little bit late. No doubt the horse is flying. But I think the horse that can get him is Hedged. He was awesome behind Jigsaw first up at Cranbourne. Then he had no luck down the straight last time in a race that was won by Cabalas. That's clearly good enough form for this. And I just think from barrier 2, gets the jockey change from Jamie Malham to Bo Mertens. I think that's a positive for a horse like this. And as I mentioned, Beast Mode's probably going to find the front at some stage, but he's going to be on tired legs that last 50 metres. And if there's one to grab him, I think it can be Hedged, and I would mark Hedged favourite in this race. What did you think, Will?
Yeah, I was pretty much the same. I think there's two ways you can look at it. Since I put the blinkers on, again, with Beast Mode, he's run those two big ratings. But then you can also say, well, he's been racing around the Moonee Valley on fast tracks over 9.55 and 1,000 metres, and he gets away from that 1,100 Caulfield. It's completely different. So I was erring on the side of being against him, especially at 260. That price looks ridiculous. And I thought Hedge should probably be favourite. I don't love a back to 1,100 for him. I think it's probably a negative. 1,200 metres is I think the stable think that 1,200 or 1,400 metres is ideal distance. So he looks ready now, but I do think this also could be a little bit of a setup for next week. So, yeah, clearly favourite. I've got him $3.40. I've got him $3.39. So there you go, $3.40. So looks about right to me.
There's 1 cent of hashtag value on offer. Take it, punters. Launch into it. Race 5, the Group 3 Summon Stakes over a mile. I believe this is for the girls. Roll on High, $3.30 in favourite from Pondalowie, $5.50. Gee, it's been a long time between drinks for this horse. What has it been?
Pondalowie is a... God, it's knocked me off a couple of times and...
Have a look at the days between wins for these horses. Roll on High, 532 days. Pondalowie, 405 days. We go to Blinded by the Light, $6.50. It's been in good form. Molly Bloom, $8.50. Last win, 644 days ago. Lake Vostok, $10. And Brave Miss, $10. Ugh, this is a yuck race, Will. Roll on High has the ratings that she should just be winning this race, though. But I don't know if I want to dive in.
Yeah, it's funny because she obviously has the clear ratings advantage, and it's the second time she's ever been to a mile. But she just sort of has always given the impression that she's a miler. Like, I don't know what they've ever been doing with her at 1,200 metres. She won that day at Flemington on stakes day, just absolutely ripping past Jolly Star in enormous sectional time and looking like it was, you know, the 1,000 guineas winner. And it's only ever been to a mile once since. So I think getting to a mile is a positive. The only problem is it's drawn wide and there's not a whole lot of pace on paper. So you can have as much talent on your side and as much of a ratings edge as you want. But if you're going to give some decent horses a head start, it's not ideal. But I don't know. I think $3.30 looks a little bit big regardless of that. I think Precious Charm also looks a little bit big to me. I couldn't possibly have Pondalowie at $5.50. That price looks ridiculous. And Blinded by the Light looks about the right price to me. So if you're going to have a bet in this race, I'm sort of umming and ahhing whether I back Roll on High or not. It's just the map. Like, she's a bet on paper, 100%, but it's just...
So. It's interesting we talk about the mile with her. Moods was saying on his podcast, maybe he's just being a little bit nasty, but he was saying they don't think... So this horse used to be with Peter Moody and Catherine Coleman. It's now with the Hayes brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And Moods was saying on his own podcast, he doesn't think it runs a strong 1,600 metres. So who honestly knows? We'll find out on Saturday for sure. Do we know why this horse didn't go to the 1,000 guineas? I know this is going back some time.
I've got no idea, but it should have. And would have been, it went straight past Jolly Star, and Jolly Star won at its next start. So, yeah, it makes no sense to me. But So I can't get my head around once. It's only been to a mile once in its career, and so it's just always looked like a mile to me.
Yeah, but, yeah. And that was on Cox Plate Day, and it wasn't on Cox Plate Day. It was on All Star Mile Day at the Valley, and I had a very good bet. With All Star Mile, William Reid Stakes Day. It was a race that Eternal Flame won, the Sunline Stakes.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the How Now. Yet again, another race for the girls. 1,200 metres, Group 3, Vestas is $3.90 in favourite from Aviatris, $5.50. She's Bulletproof, $6. Pop of Water, $8.50. More Territories, $10. And Soft Love, $10. I'm going to back Vestas here. I already have backed her. I've taken $4.20. I think she was really good first up at Caulfield. Then things didn't really work out for her at Moonee Valley. Her issue is she doesn't possess a whole lot of gate speed, and she's often leaving her run too late. But first up at Caulfield, she was running all over She's Bulletproof late in the piece there. Another 50 metres, she probably goes past her. And I think barrier 6 is just about perfect for her. Third up here, she should be just about at peak fitness. And one of her main dangers, a horse like Aviatris has drawn wide in 13, maps awkwardly. She's Bulletproof has had average run, good run, average run. She's a little bit hit and miss. I just think Vestas is peaking for this. I would prefer her down the straight like we were going to get last time, but nonetheless, I'm happy to be with her bot. And I still think around $3.90, $4 is a decent price.
Yeah, it's only early bet I'll have. I think that it's more... Instead of start with the two in front of it, I think. I just think what it did its first up was enormous. And then I went to Moonee Valley and everything went wrong and it was just chasing the whole way. It'd be far better suited around Caulfield, 1,200 metres. And I think it's a lot better than these. Oh, not a lot, but like, what's her name? She's Bulletproof, is a nice horse, but I just don't think she's come up this. I know she won second up, but that she got a really, really easy time of it, and either side of that, her form is pretty bloody awful. Aviatris is a nice horse, but I think Vestas is a level that we haven't seen from her yet, and I think she'll hit it on Saturday, and I think she's a really nice bet. I think, yeah, really, really keen at that sort of 3-1 price.
Yeah. Why do you reckon we are getting a price? Is it just because she keeps running on and the ratings can't sort of keep up with her?
She hasn't actually run a big rating yet, but like what the market expected of her last time at Moonee Valley was pretty strong, and I think she'll be better at Caulfield as well. So I'm surprised. I think that gets her beat is the map, I think. I think she's at this point right now, I think she's set to belt them up.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. The only thing I'm half concerned about, which it's not always the be-all, end-all, there has been 12 subsequent starters out of her last two starts. None of them have run top three. But it's not always a good pointer. Sometimes it can be, sometimes it's not. I think she'll win on Saturday. Race 7, the Sandown Guineas, Group 2. She's Alibi. It was $2.80 all in. I went to have a good crack. They didn't accept much for my bet. Now $1.70. Ugh. Burma Star, $7, was a good winner during Cup Week. Tagline, $10. Pictor ran a huge race last time. Botter, $17. Sulek, also $17. And Call Da Vinci, 20-1. What beats this favourite, Will, if anything?
Probably nothing, but I don't want to back it at $1.70. It looks short. I mean, it probably looks like the right price, but I'm not going to back it.
Yeah, I agree. I was keen to be with this horse at black figures, like $2.20. I'd probably mark her $1.90, but I just thought we'd get a little bit better. And no, we're not. She's been absolutely hammered.
She'll be $2.30.
Yeah, I was a little bit too slow for that. And I think either the blue clan or the red clan went up even money or $1.95, and then the rest just followed. It's just the worst thing about Wednesday markets when that happens.
Yeah. I'll probably get back out on Saturday. Like, I don't probably starts closer to evens than $1.70, you'd think.
If it gets back to evens, I think I might be on it. Pictor was really good last start. What did you think?
Yeah, it needs to find a length or two. But I just think she's favourite probably wins. But like she's by Saxon Warrior too. Like everything she did at 1,214. She's not a sprinter. So she'll only improve. And like the way she went for the line last time, she's just, you know, she's group one filly. So
yeah,
she would have been competitive in the 1,000 guineas.
Yeah. And even like her ratings, like the last three starts are just so dominant over this field. And even when she ran second to Autumn Boy, you know, she got beat two lengths and people probably saying, oh, well, she, you know, she it's Autumn Boy form, but she still ran two lengths away. Well, the rating in that race was huge, you know, compared to something like this. And she's just progressively gotten better with each start. So, yeah, I can understand the market.
Do you reckon she would have won the 1,000 guineas?
What won the 1,000 guineas? Oh, Ole Dancer.
Ole Dancer. No, I think she would have won the 1,000 guineas. There you go. That's a call. Yeah. But is it really even a call? Like I think the 1,000 guineas form is shit, and she's right there. I think she could go to a new level on Saturday, and like the ratings she ran last time.
Or do you think Panova would have won the 1,000 guineas as a spanner?
Panova. No, yeah, maybe. She's a strong miler. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, well,
why were they not there? What's doing? Why, I don't know why are they
I don't
not?
Know. Well, I don't know why they weren't there. But Ole Dancer and Apocalyptic, it was just a very cheaply run 1,000 guineas as well. So they would have had to have been good if they were midfield or worse to try and come over the top.
I don't think Panova would have. Panova would have probably run third or fourth, but I think.
Yeah.
I think this one might have been. In the finish.
Yeah. Panova probably appreciated the race shape behind the regular award the other day. Yeah.
100%. It was well paced.
All right. Let's go to race 8. The final group one of the Victorian Spring Carnival is the group one CF4 Stakes. It's been moved from the autumn to the back end of the carnival. Obviously, they didn't want two 1400 meter group ones over the same track and trip 2 weeks apart in the autumn. So they've moved it here. And they've got three really good horses at the top of betting. Number one, Jimmy Star, has been black odds into red odds, now $1.80. Angel Capital, $3.40. Evaporate, $6.50. Vinrock, $15. And Bazusto, $29 top price. Vinrock goes straight to the front here. Blinkers on for the very first time, though.
Yep. I could miss the start by further, but no, that's a sign of intent. Mm.
But that's the only thing with the blinkers. They can miss the start with it when they go on.
Yeah, desperation blinkers. Yeah.
What's the other speed in this race? Bazusto, Pinstripe, maybe?
Mighty Ulysses could be there. I don't know. There doesn't look like a whole lot of speed, but yeah.
It's all the horses who don't have a chance of winning.
They'd, I mean, Jimmy Star sat fourth in an Everest, so like, who's to say he won't be Ford?
Yeah, true.
Angel Capital probably has to go back to go back to last from the barrier, just about.
Probably has to.
And that's probably the knock on it. I think on form, at the price now, $3.40, he's the way you'd lean at the current prices, but that doesn't look like a whole lot of pace, and I think Jimmy Star will be in front of him, and good luck catching Jimmy Star.
Yeah, so $1.80, there's probably not that much juice in it.
No, not at all. I think the pricing looks right. You know, like, if anything, I think there's a juice in Angel Capital, but I just think that if Angel Capital settles a length off Jimmy Star and at that 600, I think he's probably not going to win, and Jimmy Star probably wins.
If you're back in Angel Capital here, you're relying on Jimmy Star regressing a little bit off the Russell Bolding, and you're relying on Angel Capital improving off the Everest. I don't think that sounds unreasonable, though.
No.
But it's just a matter of pricing. I'm lucky enough to be in a position, futures-wise, where I've got them both going for a result. But assessing this race right now, Nico, I'll bring you into the conversation. Where is your head at with this race currently?
Oh, I've got clear vision here. It's all about Jimmy Star for me. I think he's the best horse in this race. I think he's got the best sort of setup, and I think he'll just win. There's a little bit of give in the ground that won't be to Angel Capital's liking, but yeah, I think Jimmy's sort of starting to show that he's becoming more and more consistent, and he can settle that little bit further forward in his races, and he'll just keep winning. Yeah, I think it's clear standout for Jimmy. I could see him starting sort of prohibitive odds here, and yeah, I think he'll just win.
Yep. Will, what price have you marked Angel Capital?
290, but that's before I factor in the map and it feels gross, so.
Yeah, but if you're having a bet on Saturday, it's likely going to be him.
If it gets to like 380, $4, I'm like, sort of have to.
Yeah.
Throw yeah, that out the enough. Window. I just think with Jimmy Starr, like, I think he's racing over these distances, 1,200 meters and shorter because of the Everest and the riches that they're racing for. But when, like, the last 12 months, when you filter for races over 1,200 meters, he won the Damien Oliver. Let me find races. There's a case be made the last 12 months over 1,200 meters. He should be unbeaten. I can't find the names of the races.
I think he ran second to Damien Oliver to another Will.
Yeah, no, he ran second to Damien Oliver. What was the other one? He won the my computer's not even working. He won another race at Caulfield over 14, and then he was awfully held up that day in I think it was the Rupert Clark last year.
Yeah. Yeah, no luck.
And then won the All Aged and bolted in the Russell Balding. So over 1,200 meters. Like he just sort of
he doesn't it was the have weekend like hustler that
that's he won at Caulfield. Yeah, that's
1,400 seems his best distance.
Yeah, he doesn't have the sprint, but he can sustain a strong that's why he won the Oakley Plate was because they went so quick and he could just sustain a massive his enormous cruising speed.
Yeah.
Just sustain it for longer than the other horses and he just stayed over the top of them.
I think if Jimmy Starr wins on Saturday, we can rightfully crown him as Australia's best sprinter. Some people have already put that crown on him, and that's fair enough. He was probably the run of the race of the locals in the Everest, sitting a little bit wide, and then he bolted in with a Russell Balding, a similar dominant.
Best sprinter.
In Australia.
He's not even a sprinter.
Well, 1,200 to 1,400 metre horse, that's classified as sprinter. I think it would be Jimmy Starr on top right now, and second and third is probably...
Has he even won a race shorter than 400 meters in the last 12 months? Oh, Oakley Plate, and that's about it.
He ran third in the Everest. It's good form.
Tempted ran second. Why isn't she number one?
Oh, I just thought she had probably a better run in the race.
No, no.
Look, I've got Jimmy Starr on top in this race. If you're backing against him, you're hoping he regresses, and you're hoping Angel Capital improves, which could easily happen. Waller has kept him for this race. They want the group on with Angel Capital. They just probably didn't think they were going to bump into what could be Australia's best sprinter.
Briarcs is probably number one, isn't it? I'm on the TJ.
Not anymore. Not after his last two performances, is not. But he is in the top five or six.
I heard someone say, I was on Instagram today, and someone said that Briarcs wasn't an A grader. And I want to throw my phone out the window.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Honestly.
He's obviously an A grader. He's just been a bit poor the last couple. All right, race nine, the Move to Strike Thoroughbred Club Stakes. Move to Strike was a Tiarkow horse who has obviously gone to stud. Group three, My Gladiola, $2.25 and favourite from Inkaruna, $5. Tane O'Leary, got it right first time, $13. Surfs Up, draws cast, $14. Rahija, $17. Snow Mercy, $21. And Tupacara, this is a horse that I just want to give a little mention to. $21. They take the blinkers off, and it's going from 1,600 back to 12 after a freshen, but the early form of the preparation wasn't too bad. My Gladiola Bot, she's coming off the grand final, but it was a bloody good grand final, second to 10 Tyrus in the Coolmore.
Yeah, she'll come off it. She's drawn awfully too. I couldn't back her at 220. I think Inkaruna is probably the bet if you were if you wanted to. It's probably like a 460 chance. I think it'll firm from $5. And a Tupacara as well, but I do agree with you. Like, was heavily supported to beat
Apocalyptic. It was $2.50 favorite. Second up.
Yeah. Inkaruna was well back to beat Tempted in the Percy Sykes last preparation. So, yeah, I think, I mean, My Gladiola is probably the best filly in the country, but it's not an ideal setup. She's coming off a big run. And like, that's not negative at all.
Yeah, she's got to have traffic.
Yeah, she's not going to get the nicest of runs. And Inkaruna, Craig Wing, Barrier 7, it just looks perfect. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a blowout. Surf's Up's a nice horse. Awfully held up at Flemington behind Inkaruna and Point Barrow. Yeah,
but it's Chris Waller drawn Barrier 16 of 16.
Exactly. You know.
16 of 17. It might be one emergency.
I mean, I sort of want to get My Gladiola beat, but that rating's still there.
Yeah.
Probably won't bet.
Yeah, I'm actually seeing it quite similarly to you. The way I've actually played this race is I took a little mug multi all in of She's Alibi to win the Sandown Guineas into My Gladiola. Got it better than $6 for the double. So if She's Alibi wins, I've got My Gladiola going for a result. But I ended up backing Inkaruna at $6.50. I just knew that price wouldn't hang around. Her form is really, really good. She ran third to My Gladiola and Acacia in the Captain Teebs last preparation. She resumed, not last preparation, earlier on in the spring. She probably got in the wrong part of the straight after that, and then second to what we think is a really promising filly in Point Barrow last time. And if My Gladiola finds any bit of traffic from Barrier 1, then Inkaruna is just going to be the one who's off and gone. I might have something really small on Tupacara just because $21 is overs, but let's be honest, she's had 9 cracks at it. She still hasn't won a race yet. She could be a bit of a myth.
I've got a question for you. Who's the better horse, Point Barrow or My Gladiola?
In 12 months' time, Point Barrow might be the better horse, but right now, My Gladiola would start favourite over the two.
I wouldn't be surprised if Point Barrow started favourite. Yeah.
She does too much wrong, Botter, to be starting favourite against the horse who ran second.
That's why she's cool, though, because she's a bit of a head case and she still wins.
She's going to be very good. She just needs to...
She's going to be a superstar.
Well, she just needs to go to the mental institution first because she's pulling her head off and she's still winning races.
Well, yeah, you just got to hope that she furnishes a little bit and there's even more improvement there.
Yeah, Group 2 filly in time.
Nico, you're going to tell us My Gladiola is immoral, surely.
Well, she's on top. If she gets clear air, she'll win. But the horse that I backed last start, I think, is over the odds. Tini Alile. She'll get a gun map. She is going really, really
good. That thing will ever get a good map.
Hey?
I don't think that thing will ever get a good map.
Well, from 5, you should hope that she's in a decent sort of spot, not all the way out the back. Ran super last start, so She's Alibi. If bad luck goes My Gladiola's way, well, I think she can be there to pounce. But yeah, if My Gladiola gets any sort of clear air, she'll just win. She's much better than this lot. So, yeah, a little back and save for me.
Yeah. Yeah, as Bottom mentioned, it's just a little bit gross, these horses coming off big peaks, big grand finals. There probably is only one way that they can go, and that's regression.
Yeah.
But she could still regress a little bit and take care of these. So just something you have to toss up. Last race, does anyone have a bet? Benchmark 84 or give it a wide berth?
Let's go west.
We'll go quickly to Newcastle first. We'll leave
why?
The best for west for last.
What are they doing up there?
The Hunter Bot. Haven't you ever heard of it? Time honored.
Just punch through yours at Newcastle. Nope. I'm just going to leave it.
You're going to leave it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Group 2 Hunter is race 8, 1300 metres. Yorkshire, $3.60 in favourite from Coal Crusher, $4.60. Accredited, $7.50. Astraka, $9.50. Clear Thinking, $10. Estadio Mastala, won from an impossible position last start. Draws an impossible gate here, though, in 18. It's $15. I think the market's pretty spot on. Yorkshire, I took $7 for. This horse has just continued to absolutely crunch.
What the fuck did they do putting up $8 this thing?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like 270 days, but like...
$8.50 was the best price. I think.
How did they do that?
I don't know how they completely missed it. I don't, like, you can't just price it that because it drew 13. And I reckon
anyone with a weight for age database, like, it's not that hard to find.
Yeah. Down on 53.5 kilos, like, this, the two ratings that this horse ran at the end of last preparation, like, win this race. And his recent trial, but I'm not sure if you saw it at Randwick. I posted it on Twitter.
Did I watch his trial at Randwick for a.
Well, I posted it on Twitter and on Instagram. I thought you might have had the decency to have a look and check it out. Clearly not.
Oh, maybe I did, actually. I think I saw something.
This is a good horse. This is a Group 1 horse in waiting. I think he'll measure up to races like a Doncaster Mile in the spring, if that's where they want to go to. Sorry, in the autumn. And, yeah, it's just the fact that Newcastle can be a little bit up and in on this day, and he's drawn out in 13, he'll probably be worse than midfield. Coal Crusher is your consistent horse. He'll be up there on speed, punching along, doing his thing. He ran well enough in the Russell Bolting. He ran a distant fourth, but it's still fourth to Jimmy Starr. Prior to that, he was decent in the Sydney Stakes. So if it is playing really on pace, he's the one to run down. I've backed Yorkshire at $7. I've backed Coal Crusher at $5.50 for a lesser result. And a horse that just has all the talent in the world, and she was awesome winning on Everest Day, is Clear Thinking. $10 for her looks too big as well. I just think there's three.
That looks like clearly second pick.
Yeah, there are three clear chances in this race, and nothing else can win.
What I don't understand is they're running a Dubawi out of Clear Thinking over 1,200 metres and 1,300 metres. Like, what are they doing? Why is this thing not racing over 2,000.
Mate, breeding schmeeding.
It's a miler, I'm telling you.
Maybe. Are you going to tell Paul Massara he doesn't know what he's doing?
He probably doesn't if he's running this thing over 1,200. Who's
beauty.
Paul Massara? Isn't he the guy that runs... Is he like a trainer slash breeder?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, he can't do two things at once, obviously.
Nico, let's go over to the West now. Rail plus three, soft five at the moment. What sort of conditions are we working with on Saturday, do you know?
A good even track, I would suggest. Yep. Just happy to play. You just back it in.
Let me just look it up quickly now. Perth weather. Oh, yeah, 23 degrees. Beautiful on Saturday. So we'll get back to a good four, and hopefully it's fair.
Yeah, 100%.
What race do you want to start in?
Well, we can start quickly with race 4. I think Asphalt will be hard to beat if it steps from the gates. Wouldn't want to be missing the start and giving itself too much to do, I wouldn't have thought, but... Yeah, I thought it probably deserves to be sort of outright favourite.
Yep. Straight to race 6?
Yep.
I'll introduce these races properly, give them the time and love they deserve. The Colonel Reeves, 1,100 metre Group 3. Joker's Grin, $1.80 in favourite. He's definitely Western Australia's number one sprinter. He won the Quokka. He won really nicely first up as well. If there's a danger, it's going to be Oscar's Fortune. This is the horse that they...
Oscar's Fortune, danger? I've got the same sentence.
Right, Bot. Just leave this one to me and Nico.
Shut the fuck up.
Just because he had a terrible campaign in Victoria, which he was absolutely dog shit, he's a different horse over in Perth for whatever reason, racing slower horses. But back with his old trainer, Dion Luciani, he's a $3.20 second elect. Repossession is there at $7.50. Spacewalk is another horse you know, Will. Ex-Godolphin.
I remember I backed Spacewalk one day down the Flemington Straight, and it was like one of the worst upheld decisions. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Spacewalk.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, did you back it too? Fuck.
Yeah.
One of the worst.
Thanks for bringing that up, mate.
What won that day? What was it? Wasn't I am Unstoppable, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Or was it Bonus Notches?
No, it was Bonus Notches. That thing's running today. Yeah. Fucking squib.
Yeah. Anyway, Kraken Time, $23, and Acromantula, another horse who won at Moonee Valley when he came
over. I know that thing too. Cheers.
Yep, $26.
Lots of my horses here.
Yeah, all camels. There are two chances here, let's be honest, Dicko.
Agree.
I thought Joker's Grin. Look, a lot of the sharp, smart pro punters in WA, I've listened to a couple of previews. A lot of them have taken the overs for Oscar's Fortune, and I do completely understand it. He's going to have the map over Joker's Grin. But I thought first up, Joker's Grin got a little bit keen. He covered more ground than an Oscar. He still won pretty dominantly, and I think up to 1,100 metres suits him a bit more. He's got to carry the 59.5, but I do think he'll just get back and round them up. And lots of good judges have taken a nice price for Oscars, but it doesn't really mean anything if you get beat. And I'm with the Joker.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp as you. I'm happy to be with Jokers. I couldn't trust Oscar's Fortune. Not a chance.
They're all backing him, Nico. They're all backing him.
I'll swim against the tide. That doesn't bother me at all.
But I will swim against the tide with a $1.80 favourite. You like that one?
I'm happy to oppose the majority of thinking in this race.
That's cricky.
Make this shit up. God, fuck! So entertaining.
If you listen to the information out there, well, I am swimming against the tide, so
shut up.
Hopefully, that just means a better price.
Yeah. We'll move on. $1.80 Joker's Grin. He's going to be one of the horses to beat come the winter bottom, but he might have two star Eastern Staters in Overpass and Giga Kick to get past. Race 7, the Jungle Mist, listed. London's Image, $3.10. Is this horse going to let rip from the front like she can do or sit back from barrier 8? I think that's a big part of what you need to decide when you're deciphering what happens in this race. Yorga Pride, $4. Taropa, $8. Twain's Angel, $9. And Cessation is $9.50. Taropa's a horse you really like, Nico. A horse I like too.
Well, yeah, she's been a good horse to me over the journey. And she had no luck first up. Like, never got a crack at him. So you just got to put a pen through that run. She goes good second up. I think the map is fine. She'll come across with the speed. She'll get a good run in transit. Shouldn't get held up and run up arse this time. And she's the best horse in this race, clearly, I think. And you're getting a great price to follow up. $8 looks an outstanding price. Yeah, I'm really, really keen on her. I think she's clearly the best value of the day. And, really keen to be with her.
Yeah. London's Image has these two big fat peaks that will win this race. One of them was last start and one of them was three back. So if she goes to the front and she rips along, look, she's probably going to be hard to beat. But I do agree that Taropa at $8 does look a shade over the odds. I'll have something on her. She's got a more consistent ratings profile than the London's Image. She just doesn't have as fatter peaks. And barrier 11 is she'll be spotting London's Image a fair head start, but I can see the love and I'll come with. Happy to come with.
Beautiful.
Race 8, the WA Champions Fillies, Group 3, 1600 metres. Talk & Co, $2.50. Planet Suite, $4. Pure Excess, $6. Our Girl Can Run, $9.50. Moonwalk, $12. Pretty much all of these horses in betting come out of the same form race last time. And it was a race that Planet Suite won, but she's had to I think she has to pass another vets check, Nico.
Does she? Yeah, that's interesting.
You haven't heard the mail yet?
Well, no, I haven't heard the mail, but I'll...
Rawa Stewards posted today at around 5 p.m. Planet Suite. The filly was examined by Rawa Veterinarian on 11th of November following a stable mishap and found to be mildly lame in the left fore. The trainer will assess the condition tomorrow and be further examined by the vets.
Oh, there you go. It's not exactly what you want to hear.
No.
Yeah, I thought it was a fairly sort of even race at the top. There's not a hell of a lot between them, I don't think. And, yeah, I didn't have any sort of firm opinion in the race.
All right, happy to pass the baton to me then.
Yeah.
I'm going to be with Talk & Co. I've backed her at $2.90. She's one of my better players of the day. She meets Planet Suite around 2.5 kilos, exactly 2.5 kilos better off at the weights from last start. And she also meets Pure Excess 4 kilos better off at the weights. For Barrier 2, she's probably going to be backing a little bit of traffic on the fence, so she'll just need to negotiate that at some stage. But I think she's the one who's most suited up to the mile. Her ratings adjusted to this now 56 level weights have her on top, and I just think she might be the stronger one here. So without absolutely declaring her, I'm happy to be on Talk & Co, and I'll play just a few exotics, a few little exactas for her to run second as my savers. Race 9, the Place d'Arc, listed over 1,200 metres. This looks a dead set two-horse war, and they're two very good horses. Luana Miss, $1.95. She's got claims to have, outside Joker's Grin, she could have the best turn of foot in the whole of Western Australia. Stetzelette, $4.40, ran second to King of Light last time, and she was off the map. Started $2.80. The late betting crunch was huge. Twisted Steel draws out $11. Yes Queen had plenty of promise early, drawn out in 15, and Sherpa Express, another one, drawn out in 14. They're $11, $15, and $17. Nico, agree, two-horse race?
One-horse race. I think she'll just win Luana Miss. Yeah, she was dominant last time, and I can't see why she won't be again. Yeah, she's a really sort of exciting filly, and yeah, I don't know where they're going to sort of go after here, but you know, she might even be a chance in something like a Gold Rush or something like that. I don't know if that's where they'll go, but
what about the Winterbottom?
Oh, don't know if she can beat Overpass and Joker's.
She was Winterbottom, pretty good last time.
I don't think 14 will be an issue for her. And
how often do we see 3-year-old fillies in these big future races? Probably it's a very aggressive placement.
Well,
you don't see it often.
I think the Gold Rush is there for the taking. So, yeah, it'd be a race that I would look at. But nonetheless, she's a very exciting filly for the future, and I think she'll handle these, quite comfortably. I think.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to be with her as well. I've really latched onto this race and backed Luana Miss Max Bet at $2 and had a saver on Snitzelette at $4.60. I'll still lose a little bit if Snitzelette wins, but I'm relying on Luana Miss to win. As I said, she's just got some of the best change-up speed I've seen of a filly in Western Australia in the last couple of years. Her win last time was completely dominant. Before that, she ran a nose to Talk & Co, who we like in the previous race. I think her ratings are clearly more dominant over Snitzelette, and her final 400 metres are much stronger as well. But you watch the replays and you counter that by saying Snitzelette didn't have much luck, two back behind Talk & Co, held up for a run, and then last start to King of Light was up there, three wide, no cover, working on the speed, and only narrowly got run down. They did only go a sort of even enough tempo last start, so it probably wasn't the biggest penalty to be wide and on the speed, but nonetheless, she was still quite vulnerable late, and it took a very good horse to run her down. So she is a danger, but Luana Miss, we're hoping she comes out and she does her thing and she belts them. Race 10 is the RJ Peters. This is Group 3, 1500. I believe it's winning you're in, Nico, to the railway.
Yes, certainly is. Yep.
Yeah. Cosmic Crusader, $1.60 in favourite. His rating, I think he's only a 95 rater, so he just about needs to win this to get into the Group 1 next week. Storyville, $4.80. Bonjoy, $8.50. Love and War, $9.50. Zip Away, $34. Well, Cosmic Crusader, if you're on last start at Black Figures, watched it tumble into $1.40. It was a sick old watch, Nick.
It was one of the most arrogant rides that you'll ever see. It was horrible. Yeah, well, it has to win to get into the railway on Saturday. So let's hope we cop a better steer than what we copped last time. And I think it's sort of a fait accompli. He's the best horse in this race, sort of clearly. And he deserves to be in the railway because I think he'll be really hard to beat. But, yeah, let's hope there's no magic tricks at play on Saturday.
What did he do wrong last time?
Well, it was interesting because, look, he went forward from a wide gate and he probably just thought he'll slide in whatever, but it was actually Love and War, which is the stable mate, and Patrick Carberry was riding that horse. He kicked up, kept him wide. CJP, it was a slaughter, let's be honest. Like, he was just out there in no man's land, leading outside lead, like, and covering ground. It's just the most vulnerable spot to be. He kicked for home. I think he might have got his head in front at one stage and he just got run down. But from barrier three, like, he just owns the lead here. And ever since this horse has been going to the front, he's turned into a better horse than previously anyway. His big peak two back at Belmont, he started $1.30. He won by 8.5 lengths. If he can get back to anywhere near that, he'll just find the fence, find the lead here and absolutely shit it in, I reckon.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. And also back to 1,400 metres last start. He was a mile, he was 1,650, back to 14 last time. Early pace, sort of, he just got caught wanting, but with fitness under the belt, he needs to win this to get into next week. It's just all guns blazing. He should get the job done.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, podcast multi. We got it home last week. If you took the place, if you took Will's, what was your thing down the straight? It got smashed in Benny.
Big Swinger.
Can't remember.
Big Swinger. If you took Big Swinger the place, you would have got it because we had Big Swinger the place into Via Sestina, into what was the other short price favorite?
Who else was it? Oh, King of Light.
I remember King of Light. There you go. In the last,
that was a good win. That horse.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be favorite for the WA Guineas. Who's the best bet this week?
Best.
As in one best bet for the podcast multi.
I'll take Jimmy Starr. Race 8.
All right. $1.80. Bot, hedged, or Vestas?
Vestas.
Vestas. All right. $3.90. There's She's Alibi sitting there. There's Cosmic Crusader. There's Luana Miss.
Luana Miss. Looks like a good $1.90 shot to me.
All right, I'll take Luana Missing. $1.95 for the final leg of the multi.
Beautiful.
Couple of questions before we wrap things up. We'll go to Twitter first. Alex, any chance of Cripps Racing feature on the Perth Carnival coming up? Well, it's funny you ask this because Daniel Cripps will be coming on the podcast at some stage, possibly in the next couple of weeks. He is a pro punter from WA. If you don't know his good work, yes, he is the brother of the mighty Patrick Cripps, dual Brownlow medalist, and we're hoping to get him on at some stage. We're also hoping to get some other key WA talent in the coming months, so we'll keep that under our sleeve, Nico.
Yes, we will. West is best, so really keen for the carnival ahead. Yep. Been good to us before, hopefully it is again.
Nathan Dibby, Nico's hourly rate gone up after some painful scratchings? Question mark. Take that as a yes.
What a world.
Yeah. I don't pay either of these blokes anything, so they do it for the love of the game.
Fucking should.
Box Catcher Intel, as you guys and your followers await for the arrival of one of WA's finest in Cripper as Perth Racing takes centre stage, you can check him out across our platforms tonight. So there you go. Fox Catcher, Jules just using us for a bit of clout.
We love that.
Well done, Jules. That's fine. Go and check out Fox Catcher stuff if you want to get Cripper's tips for this week. But he was keen on... He was keen on Luana Miss and Talking Co, and I think he had Oscar's Fortune on top. Brad, does Giga easily handle the gold rush? I don't think he's going to go anymore.
I'm against you in WA anyway.
I don't think we've got an update on that yet, but I think there's a chance he doesn't go. Oscar Gordon, thoughts on the current whip rule, and what do you think should have happened in the Group 1 mile with Chad breaking the rules to get Chad Wolf over the line?
Well, not ideal.
Well, it's not really a rule, is it? It's not a rule. No, it's not a rule if you can't lose a race over it.
It's just there to appease the minority. That's all it is.
Yeah, well, what's the point of having a whip rule if you're allowed to whip the shit out of the horse as much as you want the final 100 metres? Final 100 metres, go nuts.
Yeah, but before that, watching the race.
When everyone's watching the race, like, yeah. I understand you don't want to have the optics of just... Like, I think we're just in a tricky spot. You don't want
Sorry, I was just going to, before we go to the next question, I've just seen that Carberry has been stood down for 12 days after a fall. So that means Joker's Grin needs a new rider.
Wow. Well, that's big news.
There you go.
I wonder what Damien Lane's doing.
He's
from Perth, isn't he? He's from Perth, but he won't be riding. Back to Oscar's question. Damien Oliver. He's had too much chin chins. You know the Ladbrokes ad?
He says
I could eat a horse. That's that chin chins.
Yeah.
All right, Oscar, back to this question. I think the rule is it is what it is. I don't think you can penalise a jockey the race. Just say, imagine a jockey won the race by 5 or 6 lengths, but they went over by 1 whip strike. You're not going to penalise it the race. So I think it is what it is. He copped the $35,000 fine. We move on. James, does London's Image attempt a lead, or will they just did what they did first up and settle behind the leaders? Either way, she'll just win, question mark. I think she will go straight to the front this time.
Yeah, she will.
Bit of fitness under the belt. And, I'd be shocked if she isn't handlebars down. Chris, favourite race of the Pinnacles and why?
Couldn't name one.
It'll be the Northerly, because Western Empire will win.
For me, the best race is the Winterbottom, because you get the Eastern State sprinters coming over, and then versus the WA best sprinters. That will be the best race this carnival, if it's Overpass, Giga Kick, and Jokers. Yeah,
Overpass was as good as he's ever been in the Everest to run fourth there.
Yeah, but did they get a pretty soft midsection?
It wasn't rapid.
Yeah,
so
definitely helped. Josh Wright, is it as easy as Joker's Grin, Talking Co, Luana Miss, and Cosmic Crusader in an all up? we're saying yes. We've backed them all, but
easy game.
Well, we got to find out who our jockey is. That's definitely important. Racing Nuff, Benny, my vape died today and wanting to get some flavour recommendations. Any help? Honestly, there's no pain like your vape dying at the worst moment. What's the one I had last? I've had to throw in the vapes and the alcohol for a couple of weeks with pre-season training returning very soon. It's done me no good. I went for a run the other day and almost blew up. But Strawberry Chopper Chop, very manly, I know. What's it, Alibaba? Alibaba Strawberry Chopper Chop, that's the way to go. Next question from Zaki. How was Nico after Tentoris was scratched at the gates? Felt for the man?
We're not talking about it.
There you go. Ryan Patton. Oh, I know the answer to this, but I'll let Nico answer it. Nico, why the jumps jockeys weighted significantly more than the flat jockeys, even though the horse are travelling much further distance and jumping? Wouldn't it make sense for them to have less weight on their backs?
No, well, the idea behind more weight is to make them go slower for it to be safer.
Yeah. So just to elaborate on that, when horses are going really fast over jumps, there's a much more significant chance that they're going to run through them.
Oh, 100%. And fall. 100%, yeah.
So, yeah, they slow down, they carry more weight, and they measure the jumps a little bit better, so there are less falls.
Yeah, that's the aim anyway.
Yeah. Brad Cox, is Ben open to the idea of a move to SA to come play footy for Paskville in the York Peninsula in 2026? Would be nice to have him as our newest recruit alongside Chris Burgess. Bender has replied, I concur. Fellas, honestly, I went for a run the other day. You wouldn't even want me on your team right now. Absolutely exploded. So, no, I won't be coming to SA. I'm closer to retirement. And now just a couple Instagram questions.
Ben, once you start footy, when you start playing footy, how long until you become like 150 kilos, do you reckon? With the way, the way you eat with your lollies and shit.
Probably a couple months.
And my airways, like ex-footy players are just like double in size.
It's not going to be good. I'm like low 90 kilos, 95 kilos right now, and I'm meant to be running around anyway. Slade Hawkins, how many lengths Luana miss? I'll say one length.
One and a half.
Jack Geno, what's the quaddy boys? You know we got the quaddy last week? You know we got it? Yeah, because we went short, short, short. We went like giga kick. We took VSSD and one out, and then we went to field in the last. We got it. It didn't pay great, but we got it.
Cool.
We got She's Alibi one out in the first, Jimmy Star and Angel Capital in the second, My Gladiola in Karuna, and Taino Lely and Tupacara in the third, and in the last, just take as many as you can. Live Cold says, give me a Dunkeld winner.
I haven't done the form yet.
Is she going to Dunkeld?
Well, yeah, she's going to Dunkeld. That's why she put on tonight. I know Sammy Lyons was tipping, was it the rhinoceros horse, same stable in the blue colours? Or is it the same colours? It's the brown, like another animal.
The zebra.
Oh, another one.
Yeah, the zebra. That's the one.
Oh,
the zebra. And the blue colours.
It won one day at Flemington over 1,700 metres, but like it was far lap. It hasn't done anything since. It looked like it was a group horse.
Yeah. Well, they reckon there might be a little bit of toe on the track on Saturday, and he's keen on it. So, the zebra to win the Dunkeld Cup. Liv, what's scarier, a losing day or Insidious? It's definitely a losing day. We've been rewatching Insidious, and that's how I knew about that fun fact that they're filming some of it in the Dockland studio. So there you go. If you're a fan of Insidious, I think it's one of the better horror movie series. Damon Winley, any idea where I can get some silks for the pool room made? Romantic Warrior Cunning Rising VSSD on the list. Yes, there are two main places that do them, Middies and Highlands. You just go onto their website, you call them up, you send them the pattern that you want. They'll do a little mock-up for you, and you pay them whatever it is. Might cost you $150, $200 at absolute max, but yeah, that's how you get them done. So it's Mittys or Highlands. Tom Kennedy's got two questions. Thoughts on sports bets, fixed odds, exotics? Do you think it's going to be beneficial long-term in terms of a bigger pots, etc.? Have you got your head around this, Nico? I haven't really got my head around it, but it's just fixed odds exotics, which Bet365 already do. I don't know what the pools are like, but I think you're better off just betting exotics in the normal tote pools and just betting with a agency that gives you the top tote dividends. So Bet365 on a Saturday, they'll give you the best payout of the three tote dividends, which is State tab, Victoria, New South Wales tab, and the UBet tab, the Queensland tab. So you could back a Quinella, pays $9 in Queensland and only pays $7 in Victoria and New South Wales, and you'll get $9. That's the best way of betting exotics. Coops Owen, what is your favourite moment of the Spring Carnival, and what was your favourite Group 1?
Zerva winning the Derby.
Shock.
Yeah. Nico?
I would have to say probably Ted Tyrus's Coolmore would be my favourite.
Ooh, that's hard to beat.
Mm. Just about Tentaris in the champion sprint goes close to.
Fuck you.
Ouch. Sorry. I'll go with Via in the champion stakes just because she was my biggest bet of the entire spring, and I think Jack Adam and I were doing the high fives at the 500 meter mark.
How could it not be Observer? What a moment.
Oh, please. One of the worst rating derbies in years. Since Johnny Get Angry.
Got away with it.
But is it true you were the top bidder on the Observer saddlecloth? Derby saddlecloth. It's pretty cool how they're selling them all.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm not dropping a grand on a fucking saddlecloth, though.
Oh, it'll be way more than that. Mm-hmm. It'll be at least, yeah, by the time the bids finish, it'll be like $5,000, I reckon. Four or five.
Fuck more. That.
You can get the losing ones for a couple hundred bucks. So there you go. One thing we didn't touch on was how good was Thomas Carberry's horse winning the Oaks? She looks a genuine.
Huge, yeah.
Genuine horse.
Best Oaks. Wasn't that his win?
Best Oaks winner since probably Jamaica.
Yeah, that's crazy. So Strictly Business is the horse we're speaking of. And yeah, she's going to be a major player in those Group 1 staying races as she gets a little bit older. Hopefully she's not bought by Yulong or something and they retire.
I guarantee you they'll offer so much money. It's going to be not going to be funny.
Yeah.
She's like the archetype of a horse that Yulong will buy. Yulong will have it by the end of the month. Mm.
Yeah. I think Racing Journo's already said it. Oh, mate, Mason Journo. Yep, Strictly Business to Yulong.
Is he back? I haven't seen him.
Oh, can't keep up. Anyway.
Who would know?
All right. After many technical difficulties, we've got the pod done in just over an hour. Hopefully the audio isn't too bad. Thanks, lads. And I apologize on my behalf for my microphone absolutely playing havoc.
That's all right.
No worries, lads. Good luck, punters.
Good luck this Saturday. It's going to be a ripping clash between Jimmy Starr and Angel Capital. Two-horse war. And in WA, Nico and I are absolutely hooking in. West is best, baby. See you soon.
Yes, sir.
Oh, shit. Do I have to stop it? I have to stop it.
You fucking idiot.